His relief at hearing from Helen did nothing to alleviate Ralph's insomnia. The premature waking continued, and by Labor Day he was opening his eyes around 2:45 a.m. By the 10th of September, the day when Ed Deepnow was arrested again, this time along with 15 others, Ralph's average night's sleep had shrunk to roughly 3 hours, and he'd begun to feel quite a little bit like something on a slide under a microscope. "Just a lonely protozoa, that's me," he thought, as he sat in the wingback chair, staring out at Harris Avenue, and wished he could laugh. His list of surefire, never-miss folk remedies continued to grow, and it had occurred to him more than once that he could write an amusing little book on the subject, if, that was, he ever got enough sleep to make organized thinking possible again. This late summer he was doing well to slide into matching socks each day, and his mind kept turning to his purgatorial efforts to find a cup of soup in the kitchen cabinet on the day Helen had been beaten. There'd been no return to that level since, because he had managed at least some sleep every night. But Ralph was terribly afraid he would arrive there again, and perhaps places beyond there, if things didn't improve. There were times, usually sitting in the wingback chair at 4:30 in the morning, when he swore he could actually feel his brains draining. The remedies ranged from the sublime to the ridiculous. The best example of the former was a full-color brochure advertising the wonders of the Minnesota Institute for Sleep Studies in St. Paul. A fair example of the latter was the Magic Eye, an all-purpose amulet sold through supermarket tabloids like the National Enquirer and Inside View. Sue, the counter girl at the Red Apple, bought one of these and presented it to him one afternoon. Ralph looked down at the badly painted blue eye staring up at him from the medallion, which he believed had probably started life as a poker chip, and felt wild laughter bubbling up inside him. He somehow managed to suppress it until he had regained the safety of his own upstairs apartment across the street, and for that he was very grateful. The gravity with which Sue had given it to him, and the expensive-looking gold chain she had threaded through the eyelet on top, suggested it had cost her a fair amount of money. She had regarded Ralph with something close to awe since the day that